Hey guys, it's Kevin Davis from the Cruise Control Podcast, brought to you by Detailers Roadmap. We are here at MTE 2024, doing a few of these podcasts, not about MTE, but at MTE. And one of my best friends in the world, who I love dearly, is Rennie Doyle. He is here with me. And dude, you're just awesome.
We just sit and talk. Can I be blunt? We're gonna blow each other a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you know, Todd Helm and I did like a 90-minute romance fest on our episode.
If I'm in prison.
Hey man, 20 bucks is 20 bucks, as they say.
That's it. Oh,
your lovely wife is across the way. She left before this conversation happened. By the way, before I forget, my wife Michelle says to say hello to you.
She's adorable.
And give you her love.
Hey, so would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Talk my wife into moving to Montana.
Well, you need to come visit first.
No, I've been through there a lot. I've spent a lot of time in Montana. No, I'm serious. Well, I came down through and camped out and did the overlanding on the way back from Air Force One. And so I came right down through, up through St. Regis, started out there outside of Coeur d'Alene, and then dropped down into the Bitterroot Valley, stayed in the St. Regis area for a couple nights. And then I don't even know where I was in the Bitterroot Valley, but all I was doing the whole time was, I was by myself. You ever get away by yourself?
Not enough.
It's magical. I spent 10 days by myself. But I met somebody that rode their horse to a restaurant, so I had to meet her. I met a guy that just bought a brand new classic car, and you can see him out admiring it. He was driving it back from Utah to Montana.
It
was a 65 Chevelle, which is pretty rare.
My first build was a 67.
Really?
I like the big girls.
I do too, but 65 is much smaller, right?
Yeah.
But he was out, when I passed him, he was out looking around it. And you could see that new ownership. So I walked over, I had a bottle of Beatmaker, handed it to him, I said, you're going to love this, that new. And he goes, just bought it. And they bought me lunch.
Nice.
And so every place on my stop, I say I was by myself, I met the nicest people. My first stop, I woke up that morning, I heard something, and I had a herd of cows that came into my camp. And they were nice cows. You know, I promised not to eat them, you know. But that time away on your own, 10 days, a lot of people, they said, I couldn't do that. You got to be comfortable with yourself.
Well, I mean, you know, I know you're a Christian and all that. So, like, you're out there doing, I think you posted about, you had a Bible with you and did all that stuff. So getting away. And whether it's, you know, God, universe, whatever you happen to do spiritually, you know, to be able to have that time away and just reconnect with, like you said, you know, God, nature, yourself, just having that.
You know, it's funny because I was in northern Utah in Beaver Mountain, way up north, and I had so many amazing things. And I was sitting there, and I just opened my whole mind to the whole, you know, universe. And I missed my wife. Was ready. I was on the way home, but I met a beaver family in the pond behind me. I was camping literally 70 feet from a creek bed, and it was amazing. By the end of my stay, the parent beavers were bringing the babies up and kind of like going, hey, this is a cool human. You know, the other ones stay away from. But the first day they wouldn't let them anywhere near. They slapped the water. And by the time my fourth day there, it was almost like they just came up and said goodbye. Like they knew I was leaving.
Wow.
And you know, not too often in my journey, you know, in with civilian and military search and rescue, I've been able to stop and enjoy the beavers, so to say. And it was really cool to take and just get connected with what else the world's got. It's meant so much.
Have you done that before, that getting away kind of thing?
I always have, but not for 10 days. This is the longest I did. And, you know, with that, I've been dropped off in helicopters several times over my life and been out by myself for a night, you know. But usually even that's about the longest you've gone. I've gone solo trips for 3 days of hiking and done a roundabout and ended up back home or in a destination. But 10 days on the road, and I wouldn't call it isolated, but I didn't, you know, other than my lunch breaks and going into a supermarket to restock, that was my only contact with people. And it was, you know, had a grizzly bear in her come through camp one night. That was pretty cool, you know. I was really glad I was in my camper.
Yeah, you want hard-sided. Right?
No, well, I'm you know, where I, so I've got an overland rig got it built, you know, so it's a pop-up tent on top. So, I mean, they could, I mean, it wouldn't take much, you know.
But it would require a little effort to get you in. It would have,
yeah. And I, you know, I had food I'd like sacrificed to, but they didn't care. They knew I was there. And, you know, it wasn't until I found out, I thought it was just a, you know, a black bear. But the next day, the arch on the foot, and then a Forest Service guy came through and asked me if I'd seen the cub and the grizzly mama. And I said,
so you saw the mom, not the cub?
I saw both of them. The cub got stuck in my chair, and it tipped the chair over, and she was kind of, you know, he or she was kind of crying a little bit, trying to get it, you know, unstuck from the chair, and it woke me up. So I looked down there, and they were cool as can be, man. They just, they looked around, poked around camp, came back the next night, poked around a little bit more. She looked up. She must have sent me, you know, I had all the screens open on my camper on the truck, and she looked up, and I'm sure saw me pretty clearly, and I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, you don't have anywhere to go. And that's and for those of you that don't know wilderness, right, like when you're out in, like, the mom and cub situation, mom and baby, doesn't matter what species, that is not a good, there's a lot of people get killed on trails. In Montana, we, like, every year somebody gets killed.
Yeah.
And it's usually because they're on the middle of a trail, mom had sent baby or baby somewhere, and you go in between them.
Absolutely. And it's, if it's, even if we were out on a mission, we got dropped off, and we're out there, and we're coming back down, mission's done, we got the people out by air, we have to hike out, and all of a sudden we come across, here comes a skunk, and right behind her is three little baby skunks. Well, she's running across the trail, and she looks up and sees us.
Oh, no.
And we're like, okay, stop. The baby's got across, and all of a sudden, she came out. And she put that tail up, and she's coming towards us. I would have rather dealt with the grizzly bear at that point, because she meant all business, man. She was going to get us off those babies' trail.
Yeah.
So we backed up, and she thank God, she went away. Where the hell did we go in this conversation?
We can talk about whatever you want to talk
Montana.
About. I had five baby skunks stuck in a window well at my house.
Oh.
And there's always one that's dumb. So right. I did the 2x6 and the window well. And again, this is a totally crazy conversation. But five of the six, what did I say, six? So all of them but one
got
was
out.
Smart enough. And there's that one dumb what skunk. Out. So I had to build a trap, like a long tube.
Oh, boy.
And get him to get in there, and then I took and threw him out. And so anyway,
It's
animal adventures,
it's
right?
It's pretty cool.
What does that look like on that 10-day getting away thing? Like, first of all, what's your process on being deliberate and your thought process on doing it? I'm one that it usually, like, even when we go to the Caribbean or whatever, like, I normally, it takes me a couple days to even get into vacation mode. And then I usually will, in the mornings, do my email or whatever, just because that's kind of how my brain works, and that gets me done for the day, right? So how does that work when you're out, and I assume you're turning off most of your electronics and all that?
Well, you know, you being from Montana, I was in Idaho, and once I got outside of Eastern Washington, the cell phone range where I was camping it's done.
Yeah.
It's gone. And so I just detached from, I told Chris, I told Diane, I told what to expect. Was nothing. And so we just come off, and you've been to Air Force One. It's a pretty intense week. It's a fun week, but it's intense. But here's the biggest thing I did, is I conditioned myself. I'm a pre-planner on everything. And I said, Rennie, I knew where I wanted to stop. But my goal was this. The only place I knew for sure was in Utah. And I've got a connection there. My uncle got killed in a plane wreck there, actually before I was even born. And so, but I've heard the stories. And so I knew I wanted to go somewhere different, and our daughter being a helicopter pilot, I asked her, I said, what are your pilot buddies saying? I said, here's where I want to go. I want to go up near Beaver Mountain. Well, they happened to be going up north. Another buddy of mine is a helicopter pilot there. He's been flown over the area, so they gave me aerials.
Oh, wow.
So I had aerial kind of ideas. But everywhere I stopped, my goal was to stop local and say, and go into a small, every town's got it, the small local cafe.
Which is usually the bar, sometimes the post office, the convenience store, right?
Or a combination of all. And I would get the people to know I was friendly. And I'd say, hey, I've got an overland rig. Where would you go? And I went there on every single stop. and it never disappointed me. So this one town, they had a, you know, Diane and I are equestrian people with horses. They're having a big horse event, right? Big training. So Western States, turned out it was Western States law enforcement. So they train Border Patrol, law enforcement, search and rescue and stuff like that. So this guy's crossing the street and I go, hey man, are you local? He goes, yes son, I am. I said, well, here's what I'm gonna do. He goes, that's easy. Go up here where it says Forest Service Road, and he looks at my truck, he goes, yeah, you'll make it. And he says, make a left. And he says, go back anything past 7 miles in. You ain't gonna have contact with anybody. But it's gonna be one of the best things you've ever done in your life. And man, I was two nights there and I stayed a third. It was so special. And I was, I would love to say disconnecting was hard. It wasn't, because there was no other option. I had a Bible. I had about six books. I had music. I had great food. I had, you know, great comfortable bed. I had my hiking stuff. I had a weapon, and I just went out and explored everywhere I went. And I just I woke up every morning and I come out and I was like, dude. Thank you. I mean, this is just, look where I'm at. I'm somewhere most people have never seen in their life. And here I am out. I work my butt off. We've got a great overland rig. It's a purpose-built Ram Power Wagon that's just completely, you guys know, for the Jeep thing.
Yeah.
You buy an $80,000 truck, and then you dump another $50,000 into it.
To make it good,
yeah.
Right?
And then there's the camper, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, and even that was mission statements, because, Diane, I love to bivouac. Just go out. Sleep where I land, right? And you know, a friend of mine, we're going to do three-day trip on the Pacific Crest Trail in April. And that's, you're on the ground, you're sleeping in a bivy bag. You know, I've done so much of that. I still love it, but Diane, not so much. And so we decked out our trail. It's got a toilet, you know, and it's got a sink or a refrigerator, king size bed when we pull it out, and this thing all compacts down and is almost the same footprint as our pickup.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
It's pretty small.
A little smaller than my 40-foot motorhome.
Oh, a little tiny.
You
get in there and go, yeah, not gonna happen. I mean, put it this way, it's so tight on the inside is that if the bed's pulled out, because we can use it as a full-size bed, or we can use it as a king-size bed. If the bed's pulled out in the king-size, we can't change into our sleep stuff at the same time. It's that small. But when I got back into this area in St. Regis, a Forest Service guy came out and he's actually looking at lumber that they had to cut, you know, that bark beetle had gotten to.
Right.
And he comes back and I saw him take a look, and then he took a look again. He backed up and I thought, uh-oh.
I'm in trouble.
It's the fuzz, you know, I'm busted, man. And I got a weapon sitting here on the table, right? And I've got my Bible sitting here, and I got a book sitting here, and I got some old 70s funk music going, right? And he comes out and he's like, man, this is not a right picture, you know? And he goes, how the heck did you get that rig back here? I said, I didn't even put it in four-wheel drive. He goes, it's just the fact that it scares people, which is kind of in business,
yeah.
Right? It scares people. And I said, no, I carry a fat tire TW200 Yamaha. So I ran up on that first, made sure the back was big enough, there wasn't any air ball. Came back, put my bike back on the back, and I took off. Magical.
Everybody should do it.
You don't, you know, we're sitting
even
here,
even in little
sports, little chunks,
right?
Man.
Yeah.
Especially, listen, you're a father, you know, you're a husband. These guys, we abuse ourselves. We take so much Superman bullshit on, and then we don't empty out the trash. We don't take the trash out. And we build up a lot of trash, even in a good life. We need to get rid of that trash. And a lot of it's just our own thinking, you know, and our own minds, and the pressure that we put ourselves under, and the pressure society puts us under, and then worrying about, you know, what other people think, or, you know, something like that, which I think at our age, we really don't worry about that too much anymore, you know. And I had somebody come up, you know, I had a pretty bad injury last year, right? And my face still isn't right. And I'm gonna get it fixed this year. He came up and he said something, he didn't know any better. He said something insulting. And so I let him have it. I said, you know what, dude? I had 1,400 pounds to come down to my face. I don't look the same right now. What's your excuse?
I'm just injured. You're ugly.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't going to change that. and you're already 20 years younger than me, you're screwed, buddy. You know, but my point to this is that, goddamn, be happy with who you are. You know, be happy with who you are, man. And the older I get, the more sensitive. I told Diane this the other day. So we had a rabbit. Check this out. We're in the train. We're washing the engine bay, right? Students, this is last week. And I'm sitting there, and I just happened to be talking to Diane about something on the phone. And all of a sudden, the guys move away from the engine and start doing something out. This rabbit jumps out of the engine bay onto the top of the engine and then works its way down the bumper and runs into our shop. And I'm like, now I got a rabbit in there. Dude, for 7 days, I was out there feeding the rabbit lettuce and giving it
water. Hard to get rid of. They don't want to come out.
No.
Especially in the cold where
right.
you live,
right? Yeah, so they're in a 70-degree shop. He's got fresh lettuce, you know, I mean, he's got water.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of places to piss and shit, you know. But for 7 days, you know, I was trying to get this rabbit out, but I was really concerned with it. My point to this is the older you get, man, the ultra sensitive to some things I get. And an animal's well-being is one of them, you know, is that it's just, wow, that was critical. It was even surprised me on how concerned I was that that rabbit get out of this thing alive. And that rabbit probably gained 4 pounds, you know, and it's probably miserable now because it's out in the cold. But we did get it out. We took an air blower and it got out of the shop.
Isn't that funny, though, as we get older and having those sensitivities and, like, the things that you care about and don't care about?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because some of it's the opposite. I don't give a shit. If you're on fire, you know, don't run. Drop or roll.
Piss. What's the statement?
Yeah.
You could be on fire. I wouldn't give you two squirts of piss.
I have zero room for mean people.
Yeah.
If you're mean, I don't want to. We know some people in the industry are mean mofos, the most sensitive people. People that have done jail, prison time, that you know they can just rip your face off in 2 seconds, and they're gentle. So don't tell me how BA you are when I know that person is and they're gentle and they're soft and they're gullible and they're going to get their feelings hurt. I gravitate to people like that.
What do you think, you know, we talked in this last podcast, we were talking about this, everybody has a story, right?
Yeah.
What do you think that story looks like and how can someone divert? Because most of us know, like I know, I'll tell Michelle, I'm sorry I was an asshole yesterday. Because we know when we are.
Yeah.
And I have a tendency towards that. I think you probably do too.
Oh, yeah.
And so like that's, how do, especially younger men and women both, if you're being in that mental state where you feel like you need to lash out to other people, how do you get out of that? Like, how do you recognize that about yourself?
You know, I learned, and I wish I could give credit because it's not me. I learned about a year ago, somebody said it, and they said, if something comes at you, and I do this with Diane all the time, does it need to be said? Does it need to be said right now? And do I need to be the one to say it? And so I live by that standard now. An instance, Diane calls me up. She's on the same flight I am 48 hours later. We didn't think this through. So the flight leaves at 6 a.m., okay? We have to get up at 1 and be on the road by 2 a.m. And so what happens when you have to get up 1 in the morning? And
you don't even go to sleep.
You don't go to sleep, right? So the first night I'm here, Diane calls me up and she needs something. What she doesn't know is that I'd gotten up, it's 3 hours difference. She's getting ready to fly here. So it's 1 in the morning here, it's 11 at night there, and I am sleeping. But what she doesn't know is a half an hour before that, I had to get up in the middle of the night and go tinkle. So I go tinkle here at the hotel, and I flush the toilet, and I get back and wash my hands at the sink, and all of a sudden I feel water on my feet. And the toilet, and decided to just whoosh.
Oh no.
In the hotel. And I'm so tired, I was like, you know, there's no nasties in there. You know, it's just, you know.
Yeah.
So I laid towels down and said, man, I'll deal with this in the morning, right? And I just got in sleep and she calls. I wasn't the happiest of guys. You know, I had pee-pee water on my feet, you know. I'm trying to sleep. I hadn't slept in 36 hours. And she's on the phone, and I'm being nice, but she's like, hey honey, like, can I have this? And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And she's like, well, there's two. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. How am I supposed to tell you if you can have it if I don't know what you're talking about? Well, it came off a little wrong.
Yeah.
What she didn't know is that she's sitting in the shop at my desk, and there's a security camera right there. So as we hang up and she moves her phone down on the table, it triggers the camera. So I go on thinking it's my little rabbit stuck in there, and I get just the tail end of her setting her phone going out, and she goes, asshole. So I sent her a text, and I said, I sent her a copy, I took a clip of it, I sent her a text, and I love it, and he said, I love you. You know, and she didn't take it that way. She said, like, that was kind of a middle finger up at me, that I told you you're an asshole. So when she gets here, I told her the toilet story. She goes, okay, I would have freaked out too. You're forgiven, you know? But you know, you have to get involved in it. I mean, here's the thing. If you're small, you're gonna wanna progress.
Yeah.
You have to progress. You have to. It's not an option. Even in a lifestyle business, you've gotta progress. Is that you can't concentrate on other people's drama while you're building your empire. You can't let it in. And so many times, I think you've done the same. I know you have. Is we let that in. And what's it do to you? Does it ever help you? No. It hurts you. It sets you back. And most of those people don't care. Actually, they dig seeing that it hurt you. They dig it. So there's some people that just like to watch the world burn. And I try to stay far away from it. So a person building you up, just get in there, concentrate with like-minded people that are trying to build a business. If they're trying to build themselves up, they're trying to be famous, run. Because you came up natural. I came up natural. When I first met you and you had the detailer help about, you were just out connecting with people. I remember you connecting with Vaughn, a good friend of mine, Vaughn Hot Rod that I grew up with. And Ben McGuire.
I got his V8 ring on right now.
There you go. So I saw you in Barry McGuire, and you went out very naturally and started building relationships. And then over time, you were always so supportive, and we became friends. And then you introduced me to this person, I introduced you to this person, and that pocket of good people grows. Because it's natural. If you're trying to wedge yourself in, matter of fact, that's going around the show. Not the wedge. Hashtag. Not a wedge.
Not a wedge.
Not a wedge.
Yeah.
Hashtag. Not a wedge. The reason why is if you've got to wedge yourself in, it's never going to happen for you.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you're going to turn ugly because a wedge is very unnatural. A wedge is temporary. You know? I think the toilet in my room needed a wedge. You know?
Yeah.
Something was off, right? But that's got to be a temporary fixture. It's just going to keep running over. You know, stupid analogy.
No, I like that because, I mean, it's easy. And you have these conversations. I talked about it on the last podcast. I had this amazing conversation with a guy that is probably worth $300 or $400 million.
Ooh.
And the guy is like, and it was just a random conversation. He came to the booth and we're talking about business. I was telling him all the different things I'm doing, detailers roadmap and all this. He's like, he basically said, my job now is I do whatever the F I want. He said, I should put that on my business card. I do whatever I want.
Is this guy a marketing guy?
He's not a marketing guy.
No.
But he basically helps entrepreneurs. He mentors entrepreneurs for free. Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you talk to him?
I just saw him. You know what's funny is I gravitated to him. I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
But I gravitated to him. Why?
Because he has that energy. Yeah. Funny guy. But he's
not a wedge.
Like, he literally helps small businesses and entrepreneurs for free, and he's like, by the time we're done, he's like, I want to fly my wife and I out to Montana, come stay with you and your wife, and we want to talk about these different opportunities. And it's like, and he's okay. he's like dude, I have goosebumps even having this conversation. This is a guy that's talking to me who I just met.
How old is he, you think?
I know he's 48.
Young. I mean, a lot of you guys are going, what?
No,
that's pretty old.
So he's 3 years younger than me. Right, but he was wealthy at 31, and from there he does whatever the F he wants. That's his job title that he gave me. But super, like, he's a very interesting guy. He could be a little off-putting to somebody. But you and I meet these different people of all different levels. You know, we've got friends in the television industry. We've got friends
absolutely,
billionaires and all that stuff. But I found that I can connect to all those people because at the end of the day, they're just people that happen to have a different walk of life than I do.
It's just people. It's, you know, one of the most regular guys, and it's sad because he's really struggling, he's going through some stuff, and towards the end of his life is Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And he started out, believe it or not, he lived in our same town in Idaho, and we met, and and I can't tell you why, and he couldn't tell you why, is we found a mutual attraction to each other. Not a weird one.
Right.
Just a, we were friends. And the reason why is he told me one day, he goes, you know why I allowed myself to get cool with you? It's why. He goes, he didn't give a shit who I was.
Yeah.
He said, for a long time, I didn't even know if you knew who I was. I said, I still don't. What do you do? You know, and so it's that law of attraction is that, and the young people, this is what they're doing. Some of them, I just met a young dude who's 32 years old, and I told him, I said, you're missing the mark, dude. You're so thankful. I watched you yesterday. You were so cool with people in the lectures that I gave. You shook everybody's hand, you met them. You're so natural, and you're not trying to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. All you're trying to do is educate yourself, and you're so polite, and he's so ahead of the rest of the race. And he goes, what am I missing? And I said, you're missing believing that you deserve it.
Yeah.
Because I said, you're missing your opportunity. You're thinking small. You know why I know that? He goes, why? And I said, because I was at the same exact spot at the same exact age. I said, I'm guessing this is how you grew up.
Yeah.
And I shared some information with him. And he goes, how'd you know that? And I said, it's exactly how I grew up. And I said, so you've got this chip that you're carrying on the shoulder. It just got knocked off of you. What are you going to do?
I mean, and don't be afraid to have those conversations with people.
Yeah.
Either down, you know, to a guy like that, if you're older.
Yep.
Someone, if you're even up, like I can learn from people as well,
oh,
right?
Man,
we learn from each other all the time. But I've told a lot of my friends that are like way above, and I say this on almost every podcast, but these are my how did you get in here people in my life,
yeah.
Right? Like you and I think I've talked about that before. Yeah. It's like just waiting for security to come remove me.
Right, exactly. and think about a guy like we just spoke about that, you know, he's worth $300 million. I mean, we've got our wealth, right?
Yeah.
But I look at that and I'm like, whoa. I mean, that's like,
yeah, that's,
whoa.
Those are numbers, yeah.
Whoa. I mean, I'm proud of myself and just where I've gotten. You know, but, and then you look at, I can't compare myself to him. I'm not him. And you don't know what he gave up. Here's the other thing, you don't know what break he got. You know, is there's people that just sometimes it is, I do believe in luck. I do believe there's people that are right place to right time. But I also think that you can, your destiny is up to yours. And, you know, could have I done more at a younger age? No, it wasn't my destiny. Bob Phillips and I talk about this all the time. Can you imagine if we would have started Double Black, you know, 15 years before we did? Answer that, it would have failed. Wasn't ready for it. We weren't ready for it. The industry wasn't ready for it. The universe wasn't ready for it. It just wasn't God's will.
Yeah.
And so you've got to take, I'm just enjoying the ride, you know? You look at all the biggest thing I enjoy is that I told somebody this, money is no longer my motivator. The money side's the easy part, and it's getting easier and easier and easier. Changing lives and having these younger entrepreneurs, not young entrepreneurs, younger entrepreneurs. Because you could be 70 and a new entrepreneur. You might have been an entrepreneur your whole life for a company. Now you're an entrepreneur, you know? Is to take that and change that person's life and allow their journey to be easier.
Yeah, it's building people up, right? Like that's our, if you're not building people up in your life, you're missing it. Like, and if you're putting people down, you're totally screwing it up. Like, you know, I told somebody earlier that I've been taking more of a libertarian approach to relationships, which means, look, that's, you do you.
I do me.
It's none of my business.
We'll tug it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Unless you need me to help you build yourself up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do you, and that's, okay. You know, that's your thing.
If Steve and Dave want to get married, and they're Steve and Dave are close to me, I'm going to support them.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. There's some things I draw a line on, right? But I'm not going to be boisterous about that line. I'm not going to assault somebody about that line. I'm just going to take the side of me on that line. And you don't need to be rude, and you don't need to share your opinion. You don't need to do, you just have to say no, or hey, thanks, not available. You know, whatever that is. And it's like, you know, I had somebody come up to me right now. Hey, did you hear about what's that? And I said, hold, stop.
Not having that conversation.
Stop. Are they here? Yeah, they're here. I said, why don't you go get them?
Yeah.
If you're going to talk about them, let's bring them in on the conversation. End of conversation.
This episode is brought to you by Detailers Roadmap. Hey, spoiler alert, that's us. We all know you need a kick-ass website in order to be successful with your business.
The good news is at Detailers Roadmap, kick-ass websites. That's kind of what we do. With the latest performance, designs, and SEO strategies, Detailers Roadmap is your one-stop shop to be successful on the web. And don't forget, we have the best support team in the industry. Whether you're an existing partner looking to improve your lead generation or you need a brand new website, Detailers Roadmap is here to help you be successful on the web. So go to detailersroadmap.com/success and get started today. That's detailersroadmap.com/success.
Did they walk around mad? No, I think they walked away respecting it. Because I'm done. I want to hear both sides of your team. You know, it's because the other thing, don't tell me what that person's up to. Why don't you tell me how's your business doing? How's your kids doing? How's your daughter doing? You know, watch your girls, right? They're all growing. Maybe it's the same line, but it seemed like your girls just like they're growing up, they're kind of reaching adulthood, and then they just poof, they're adults, right? They're just totally, they went totally on their own, right? Just totally on their own. And that's the important stuff. I want to watch your family succeed. Is that we're here, okay, we got Diamond Protech right across from us. We make a coating. I want them successful. Is that I am not going to pitch them against me. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to say, here's the key benefits and features to my company, and I don't know about them. Go talk to them. I've heard good things. I've met with them. I've seen them all over the world. They're good people. You know, I can't tell you anything else. Now, if somebody else is knocking off another product, I'm a little more protective over that, you know? But it's just, I want to, listen, the more this industry succeeds, the better we all are, you know? And in the detailing realm of things, if you're a technician, is that it's a buzzword, and we started saying it, and you've definitely got it. You know, it's collaboration, man. We don't compete on anything. You know, I mean, we join forces. That's what the big countries of the world do. They go kick the shit out of the shitheads, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, collaboration at the top, competition at the bottom. We just talked to another young man, and he's like, man, I just got so much competition in my area. How do I diversify that? I said, you already did. He's what? I said, you. They can't build the relationships you do. Get better at building relationships. I mean, just, and build more of them. It's all a numbers game. Build really good relationships.
And I always say, I'm not for everybody, right? You're not for everybody. No. There are certain people, yeah, like you were saying, that will be attracted to me, what my voice is, what I believe, my morals, ethics, values, all those things. And there are people that will connect with somebody else, right? Like if they don't connect with me, I still want that other person to succeed because they're not the right person. I said the other day, I don't really like people, but I like my people.
Amen. Find out who your people are.
Yeah, so you need to know who your people are. You connect with those people. And I can connect with almost anybody. Amen. You have that same skill set. But the people I want to edify my own life and to feed into my life are my people.
Amen.
Right?
I just read that. Oh, man, it was over the holiday, over Christmas break. And I read it in a book I was listened to it, and I wrote it down. And I said, you know, find your people. Because here's the thing, even in a tribe, you know, I played football, competitive football, for the time I was a little kid up in college, right? Is that we're a team. There's not every single player on that team I done. There's guys I just did not care for. We're not going to go out, you know, and do stuff after the game, you know. But I'll tell you what, we respected each other, and we played hard with each other, and I was going to cover down for them, they're going to cover down me. Military, same way. Search for we got a thing, you know, when you jump out of the helicopter, and you're being dropped off, and you're going to be dropped off for, you know, you don't know how long. You better be comfortable with who's with you.
Yeah.
And not all of them are my friends, but every single one of them are my colleagues. I know if shit goes bad, we're gonna take and die for each other, trying to make shit go right. And those are people that I'm not gonna break bread with. You know, but I got mad respect for them. Why is the industry any different? Why does there have to be? Again, don't try to wedge me. Matter of fact, I'm to the point where don't try to wedge anybody I know. Anything I had a friend of mine. I led into that. And I heard a little back talk that he was, you know, not so nice to me in a recent event. So I walked up to him and I said, hey man, are you good? He goes, man, we're wonderful, why? So I said, I'm not gonna say from who. I heard, you know, you didn't have some nice things to say. And he goes, Randy, that couldn't be further from the truth. I said, that's why I'm here, because I always felt we were good. You know, we need to have more of that in society, because now what that person's gonna, he knows who said that. He knows exactly who said it. He's gonna go correct it. And now the cancer culture on that side goes away. You just took the steam out of that person. It's no good anymore. They got one less person they could turn against you. You know, we're seeing it right now in the industry. It's wedge. It's wedge city. We're seeing it in society. We're only a part of society. We're seeing it in the military. We're seeing it in law enforcement. And we're seeing it in firefighting. We're seeing it in government. You don't think it's going to melt down to us? You know, but it's, you know, so empire building. You know, we know in your background, but you come into this industry, you know, you got your one product. And you look at the entrepreneurship that you've done and the entrepreneurship that you've done. That was a journey, man.
It's been a long journey.
It's been a long journey.
I mean, I've been self-employed for 26 years.
Yeah.
And it's been, with Detailers Helper, I was a detailing shop. I came up with this idea. I put it out there. And I mean, look, we didn't get rich off Detailers Helper by any means.
No.
Right? You know,
but
I think
it's an envelope.
Yeah, but it got me into other brands. It got me other opportunities. It honed those entrepreneurial skills that I've had. Amen. And the network that I've built, you know, with Michelle and I, there's certain things that came from Detailers Helper that put us in the automotive industry that then put her in to different parts of the automotive industry, off-road industry. Like, it's crazy how that, it just weaves together. Right. Like, you know, it's just a story.
Absolutely. So this is something we've come out public with. I don't know if I should share it or not. So I was nominated for something. Pretty blessed. And I was nominated for this SEMA board.
Wow, cool.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm going after it, right? But I'm that's a new one.
Need me to call Mike for you?
Yeah.
I know Mike.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Make the call. I mean, here's how it works. Remember, collaboration at the top. Here's why I want it, though. It's not for recognition. I give a shit. The last thing I need is to be on another board, right? But what we need as an industry is we need that voice. And it's funny because they came back to me and they said, okay, you know, we're in so your education, I said, what does it matter? I got a master's degree and I got a bachelor's degree. You want to put that in your bio? No, had nothing to do with it. I just want to put that I'm a small business guy, blue collar guy, and I think that we need to be heard and seen more on the SEMA front. And I said, that's my whole platform. It will be. It probably won't get in because of that, but I don't care. Okay, well, we need a picture of you and business attire. So, okay, so I said, I'm going to my bike app. Cool shirts, you know, this and that. So the lady calls back and she goes, yeah, that was a really good picture, but we need it in business attire. And I said, that is business attire.
All right, I may have to not be able to call Mike on this. You may.
Yeah, exactly. So I did send him, I broke down and sent him a picture of me in a suit.
Nice.
You know, and so I said, I got it. But I'd rather take, and this is the side of the industry that me in a suit's not going to represent.
Right.
And I think they listen. Or, and tore up my paperwork.
Which is ironic, because the automotive industry is wearing what you sent them first.
That's exactly it. That was my point.
You know, right?
Like, why the heck? Somebody, I mean, okay, I love getting dressed up. You know, I love, Ty and I go out, I love it. Love when she gets dressed up, beautiful. I like putting a suit on. I'm not much of a tie guy, but I like putting a suit on. I've got custom tailored suits. I mean, I go all out on it, right? But it's not, that's not me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the me that goes out dressed up in my life, you know? And it's definitely not part of this industry, you know, but it could be.
Yeah.
You know, remember that, what was the big party? Remember when we went to the huge party on top of Hobbs?
That was that Glass Appearance?
Yeah, it was a Glass Appearance party.
Yeah.
You know, I wore a suit there. And,
yeah.
And it's I wore a suit to our party one year. And I'll probably do it again. I'm not anti.
You were in a suit, Air Force One,
yeah.
You?
Yep. Yeah, I was in a suit at Al Qaeda. That was right on the heels of my accident. And honestly, I look back and I was like, who dressed me? I mean, I had no idea. Well, Diane, you can't let me go to, you know, are both your parents still alive?
Yes.
We buried my mom 4.5 years ago. And I just now looked at pictures that somebody took of that day. And I don't remember dressing myself. I told Diane, what the hell were you thinking letting me walk out of the house like that? Because I was in such shock. And we knew she was going. But when you lose your mama,
yeah,
everything's out the window. I honestly don't remember getting dressed. And I heard, what's the quarterback, or the, yeah, there's a, I can't even remember his name now. But he's a younger quarterback, he's doing really well, and his wife dresses him.
I heard that story.
Yeah.
And she does it because he's got more important things to think about that day, right?
Yes.
Like she does that as a servant leadership thing.
Yep.
We talk about servant leadership a lot. She does that to serve him to make sure he can do his job better.
So, and it's amazing because his explanation to that in another interview was this: I will not know what I'm putting on. My mind is, during the NFL season, it's 100% on that game coming up. During the offseason, it's 100% training for the games coming up. And he goes, if I don't have her lay my clothes out, it's for animals. If I don't have a giraffe in a draft, it won't line up. You know, it won't line up. And so I told Diane that, and I don't think she picked. I said, there's a whole decade to why I don't remember dressing myself because I was so busy running shops and everything else. And I look back and picture, I'm like, why the hell I don't wear that, you know? But, and that's a little bit about losing yourself and being so neck deep, stupidly, into that whole persona of you're a business owner and busy. I never want to be that busy again. I was with my mom, you know, at our party. I was nervous, man. That Air Force One party, we've never done anything like that.
Yeah.
20th anniversary, you know. I just come out of my accident. Probably still a little dazed and confused from that, you know. And but my point is, damn, man, was I that bad that I didn't dress myself?
Like, well, what do they say? Don't get so busy building a business you forget to build a life.
Exactly it.
And that's part of that mentality, right?
Yeah.
I have a funny story about that. So I actually officiated on Hot Rod and Sandy's wedding.
Wedding, yep.
So I actually was I got ordained. I'm not ordained normally, but I did the online ordination, right? So I go down and do that. So I'm a little colorblind when it comes to blues, especially dark blues.
Right.
And so I have two suits that are fit.
Oh, no.
I have a blue suit and a black suit.
Oh, boy.
I get there, I'm getting dressed, and I'm like, Michelle's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, what are you talking about? So I had the blue jacket and black pants.
Oh.
And so, like, I go through that, and I'm like, oh. So I think I just wore it. I'm like, I can't do anything about it now. And it's a dark navy, but you could tell, right?
So
I had to, actually, I think I took the jacket off at the end of the day. I just took it off. I was just like, this is not going to
do that.
So, but yeah, that's you know, be careful what you do when you dress yourself.
He just had his 60th birthday party. And so he asked me to come down and there's a roast.
Yeah.
So I brought, you know, I've known this guy since we were kids, right? So I brought down, appropriate attire. So when I started the talk, I dressed 80s and I had this wig on, you know, and just a bunch of hair. And I said, okay, so next chapter I've been down and I put a one on with a mullet, right? And so then I say, hey, then we get to the current. I know his real name, right?
Yeah, you don't say that.
Yeah, when he switched over, well, his mom did, before she passed away, she told the whole world. And then some other friends at the party threw it out there too, but I still don't. Yeah. I'm honored.
He doesn't like it.
No,
this Von Hot Rod is a world famous pinstriper, and he's amazing. But his legal name that he changed it to is Von Hot Rod. So he's always used Von Hot Rod.
Yep, yeah. So then I come out with it because you got a pompadour.
Yeah, he's got
an old 50s pompadour. So I put the pompadour on, right? And so I said, so the next stage of his life is the Von is born, right? So I'm talking, and I said, hold on. And I grabbed the thing, and because his hairline's receding. So I brought the wig back a little bit. And he just started dying. And I said, in the next chapter, and then we're at the current chapter, and I pulled it all the way back where it's barely visible from the back. And so, you know, we can rag on that. But here, look at those relationships. I mean, who would have known these two kids that grew up in Fulton, California, are going to run into you. We're going to meet friends with you, close friends, allies. Again, the conspiracy.
Bond's literally one of my
now.
Best friends, right?
He's
like,
awesome.
You don't marry people that you're not good friends with, right?
Yeah. But I married my best friend. I did the officiating for his wedding, him and his wife's wedding up in Utah this summer. And isn't it fun?
It's fun. It really is fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, we could go on. There's so many cool things. Rich is like this dude, like, I am in love with. He's my best friend. Like, I love him to the core of my being.
Yeah.
You know, if Diane's dying on one side and he's dying, I got to rescue one of them. I'm dying trying to rescue both.
Yeah.
I mean, I love him. The kids, my kids, the same way, right? I mean, there's just no way I'm going to choose one. I'm going to go in for both.
Yeah.
You know, I love him that much, and we've been together for so long, and he's been such an inspiration to me. Military pilot. I mean, he's just got a boy crush.
Yeah.
You know, I just got a boy crush.
That bromance.
It's a bromance, man. It's a bromance, but it's I won't go there. I was going to say something. I played football, you know, together since we were kids. And so I always tell him, I said, I think the worst thing about our friggin' friendship is I have seen you in the shower. And he's like, well, and so I told him one day, he's funny. Yeah, it was kind of disappointing. So about 2 months later, we're gathering, and he goes, dude, was it?
That hurt my feelings.
Yeah, and it basically saying, is it really that small? And I said, well, it's not that small, but it's, come on, you're pretty testosterone up. I thought it was going to be packing a little more heat, you know? And he's like, so he's still sensitive about it, you know?
The funny thing is women don't care. So, yeah, all those right, yeah. But I love that story because I think that's where we're, to circle back to what we were talking about with relationship building, right? You become the top six people you hang around with, right?
Oh, man.
But, yeah. Like, if you can be at this, early 50s, 50-year-old, and you have a friend that you can literally say, look, I love this guy, to my core, right? Like, what a blessing to have that.
Oh, yeah.
And the only way you build those relationships is if you're trying to build people up over the course of your life.
That's exactly it. It's Rich, if you're listening, the winter's not that small.
In Montana, during the wintertime, we call that button on a fur coat.
That's it, right? He's going to kill me, man. His wife's going to kill me. I'm more scared of her than I am him. But, it's just like, in detailing, okay, let's go back to that. Look at this friendship that's been built up. It's just getting closer and closer.
It does. Every time we talk, it gets closer.
It's getting closer. Yeah. You got Jim Gogan, dude. He lives in Boston. He's Air Force One. The guy's just a giant. And he's helped me so much in the industry, and they don't even realize it. We were here almost 18 years ago when we first came to the show. There were six of us here, dude. Six details. How about everybody? Six. Now you look at it, and Jim Gogan's one of those guys. Mark Johnson's one of those guys. But now you got a new generation. There's so many people that are now, they're a decade into the show. And they're the thing is, Barry McGuire.
Oh, yeah.
The dude, has the guy slowed down?
No.
He sold his company to frickin' 3M.
Yep.
Okay? The guy's 80-something years old.
For a big, big
number. A big number. The guy is 80-something years old, and he's still relative and very engaged and very engaging. And he's one of those guys, when he talks, I'm just blown away.
You just want to listen.
You do.
Because he's there to, he genuinely, if you see him, he is as happy in person offline as he is on whatever you see on camera.
It is. Yeah. And it's just... And so I think what we would both agree to, if you're 20 years old, this thing is a really, really long marathon.
Yeah.
We put it yesterday in our talk that we did on building wealth in your life and your business, is I put it at the end of innings. So my family has an average age of 84 years old. Male, female, doesn't matter. My dad's breaking that. He's 87, right? So that means right now, okay, break it into baseball, 9 innings. That's 9.33 years per inning in my family tree. So that means right now I'm at the top of the sixth. And to a lot of people, that means, oh shit, you're towards the end. But not really. It's not really. Do I want to live forever? No desire to. Zero desire to. Do I want to live healthy, happy, and productive? As long as I possibly can. There's a difference in that.
Yeah, 100%.
There's a difference in that. But I told the audience yesterday, I said, my dad, I didn't know my dad growing up. We didn't meet each other. We really didn't get close until when my mom died. I'd never seen my parents in the same room. Never ever saw them talk. Never even in the same, state, I guess so, but I never saw them in the same, never the same vicinity of each other. But yet she pushed me to engage that relationship again. And I'm so thankful. The dude's 87 and just bought his dream house. And he's working on it, and he's doing this, and he's got plans, and he goes, hey, what about this business? What are you looking at? What do you want to do this? And what do you think about going in on this? And it's just, to see this dude at 87 years old, and he's so engaged, it reminds me of Barry McGuire.
Yeah.
But that's also that generation, is that, listen, they wrenched on stuff, they got creative. Guess what? These are the new wrench, man. Because we're wrenching on, you build amazing shit. This dude is like, oh, I'm gonna build a barn. And
I made Michelle do most of it. I just took pictures of myself working.
Yeah, no, I don't believe that. I believe Michelle's in there. But these guys are like, okay, I'm getting a little horse barn for my horses right now. Three stalls. Dude, how many square feet?
It's 3,400.
Okay.
16-foot ceilings, which was a huge mistake, by the way. I should have done 12.
Right. But he's doing it, and he's showing himself. And we're like, all of us are going, where's it come from? Because I'm not building my
own. No one taught, like, I didn't really, my dad taught me, he's never really a teacher.
Right.
So I'm just one, I don't have a fear of failure. So yeah, if I build a wall and it doesn't look right, I'll tear it apart and build it again. Yeah. And that's how I build businesses and all that kind of stuff. I joke and say I fully expect to fail on everything I do. And when I don't, that's bonus.
That's,
when I'm
ahead of the game.
When I do, I learn and I pivot and I know what not to do, right?
You know, that is a great message. Is if get used to it in life of not fearing risk.
Right. If you mitigate risk.
Mitigate it.
And no risk assessment, but don't fear.
That's it. You know, we've got in search and rescue, we've got what's called a GAR report that the Coast Guard developed this. Mm-hmm. It's green, amber, red. And so all the team members, when we sit down, is like, hey, what's your GAR on this? And it just allows us to have one person go, hold on, man. I'm red, and here's why. And we're like, ooh, we didn't see that, right?
Yeah.
So I have that same theory in everything I do. I brought a GAR report into business of moving ahead. Even sometimes when I'm engaging somebody, is that, you know, we had new opportunities last year, and I said, you know, hey, man, my people are used to it, right? You say, my people are used to it. I said, hey, what's the GAR on this one? Oh, man, it's green light. Let's go. You know, Amber? I like Amber.
Yeah.
Amber to me.
A little more fun.
Yeah, Amber's kind of, it's like, I don't want everything.
I might die, I might not die.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And so, you know, it's that, but there's been times where I hit red, and I, you know, it's a red, man, I see it red, and I take the risk.
Yeah.
And a couple of them turned out, oops,
yeah,
that was bad. But most of them haven't. And if they were bad, it was a real learning experience. But you can only number the big ones so many times. If you keep hitting, and you keep hitting red and failing, you might want to get a little help.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a sign.
Because you got to have educated risk management, right? Like,
right.
If I jump out of a plane, there's an inherent risk in that mentality and that activity. If I jump out of a plane without checking my chute, that's an additional risk.
Yeah.
And that I didn't check anything.
Right. Yeah.
If I jump out of a plane without a parachute, that's just stupid.
You're dead.
Yeah, you're dead. That's just stupid. So it's about managing and being educated about the risk involvement.
Well, how many people jump out of that airplane, aka entrepreneurship, and they don't have a parachute?
All the time.
I mean, probably not 80 or 90%.
They don't know their numbers. They don't know the risk. They don't know, you know, you're going to learn stuff along the way, but they don't reach out to people to help them mitigate that risk.
We went in and we got a new controller this year, our old, which is a fancy word for a bookkeeper. But she's a lot more than that, right? And we had the same one, and a very wise person told me, hey, switch up your financial team about every 5 years. They get bored. And when they start getting bored, well, our bookkeepers were bored. And they were making some some really big financial errors on advising us, not advising us. So we dumped them immediately. I saw some stuff come through, and I was like, this isn't right. Why am I catching this and they're not? That's what they're paid for. So we switched over to a new one. Oh, my God. I mean, she comes in and she literally controls our financial path. So I had an appointment to get our quarterly taxes done, right? And she sees it on the calendar. She calls me up. She goes, no. I just called your CPA, which they work closely together.
Okay,
not
cool.
Just our account, but a couple others. And she goes, no, I put it back 2 weeks. You and I want to have a hard conversation with you and make sure that all of our T's are crossed, our I's are dotted. And so I need an extra couple weeks to put your report together. And I was like, damn, that's what I want right there. And you guys might be listening and saying, man, I'm not to that point. You will be. And here's the thing. Your numbers right now are a lot more important.
Yeah.
It's right in the beginning, man. You've got, because you're building that foundation. If that foundation's got a crack in it, water's going to find a way in it. It's going to freeze. It's going to break that up. Then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You're in trouble. So make sure that you start out on those solid ground. Man, we've been all over the place.
I know. I like it, though. But
yeah,
our conversation's always good. I've got a buddy of mine that's a fractional CFO. And what they do is exactly what your controller's doing, which is they not only help you figure out, and he actually is a CPA, so you kind of get dual with him.
Wow.
But he runs through your year-to-year strategy. He also helps you grow your revenue, and then he also mitigates your tax liability.
Absolutely.
Right? So if you ever pick a CPA, that goes, I had this conversation with Megan, actually. We were talking about CPAs. I said, you want a CPA that goes by the spirit of the tax law, not the letter of the tax law. Because if you've never seen the tax law, it's like 1,500 pages.
Right.
And so, anyway, you need someone that has a little bit of risk.
But oh, yeah.
That's not legal advice or financial
advice,
right?
We're not here for that.
We'll disclaimer that. I got to tell you my Barry McGuire story, which I don't tell very much. Yeah, we're 55
wow,
minutes in. That's good.
Wow, cool.
So I had this, first of all, Von Hot Rod. I stood in line to take a picture with him at SEMA 2013.
Yep.
And then became one of my best friends.
Wow.
Which was awesome. Barry McGuire, I told Michelle, like, I'm going to meet him and I want to have a long conversation with him. And so not only did that happen, had an opportunity, we had lunch together. I stole his fish tacos off his plate, which was funny. And then we actually went out on his boat. He let me drive his boat.
Oh, wow.
And we actually had an opportunity to stay at their house with them.
Wow.
At one time.
Wow.
And all that is from relationship
absolutely
building. Like, and I don't, there's no humble brag in this at all. Barry became a real, like, we became very close with his family. We were very close to Nicole before she died, his daughter. And we had kind of walked through a lot of that hard life stuff that she had faced and we had gone through together. But that's a relationship that started from a conversation, right? Like, that's like, how do we have this conversation? How do we, you know, because, I mean, it's Barry McGuire, right?
Yeah.
If you've been in the car world very long,
you know him.
You know him. And he's an amazing man. Like, and honestly, I never really cared that he was Barry McGuire after I got to know him and meet him.
That's it. That was the least important part.
Right.
Because
he was just this really cool guy that had a ministry and ran a great company, had a struggling family like everybody else,
yep,
like had the same struggles
yep
that we did. And it's just, you know, that those kind of relationships are what really make life worth living, is to build those.
It so is. And it was, you know, right on the heels of that show kind of guy he was, Nicole. So I'm in the guard, and I decided that I wanted to kind of change. I was in an ID unit, an infantry division unit, and I'd been doing war games, getting these guys ready to ship off to war. And it was a really, really tough schedule. So, and I really wanted to change it up. I had my master's degree, which in itself is kind of a funny story, but I decided to try out for the chaplain corps.
Really?
Yeah, cool. I did. And so I was talking to Nicole, and she was kind of tracking it with me. Because I ran into her at a show, and I told her, she goes, how you doing? I said, yeah. And she goes, hey, she goes, so somebody told me that you've got a degree in theology. I said, I do. So I told her I was trying out for it. So a couple months later, she sees me and she goes, hey, what? How's it going? I said, man, they denied me. And she goes, why? And I said, well, I said, you know, I mean, I don't know if I want to tell you. You know, it's kind of embarrassing. And she goes, can you try out again? I said, yeah, I'll put my name in there one day, but I got to kind of fix me a little bit. And she goes, well, why did they deny you? And I said, they said I said the F word too many times. And she goes, well, you know what, Rennie? F them. And I was like, you know, and so flash forward, we lose her.
She died. She passed away.
Yep. And I told Barry that story one day. I ran into him. And it's pretty an honor with him, because him and I are both in the Hall of Fame. The first class with the IDA. Very first class, both of us are in there. And so that's kind of a bragging point for me. I don't care about me being in there, but I got Barry, you know, right?
Right.
And so I told him about it. And he goes, wow. And I said, he goes, are you going to go back and do it? And I said, at some point. Flash forward just 6 months ago. This is a couple. When did Nicole die? 4 years ago?
Four years ago, probably.
So it's been a while. Flash forward is I run into the head chaplain and Fulbert Colonel. And he doesn't care for me much, you know? And so he calls me over and I say, sir, you know what's going on? He goes, I wasn't fair to you. I said, what do you mean? And he goes, we did an exit report on all the candidate chaplains. And we threw all our chaplains in there too, including me. And he says, Doyle, you had the highest rating of all of us.
Oh, wow.
He says, so apparently soldiers like to hear chaplains say the F word. And he goes, can you tone it down a little bit? And I swear to God, this is what I say. I said, probably the F not.
Oh, my God.
And I said, I am who I am. And I said, you know, I said, I relate to the soldiers. I said, sir, with all respect, they know I did it. They're coming to me anyway.
Yeah.
And so my mission was to help others. And if it's an official, I'd love to do it one of these days. But you got to accept me for who I am, just like God would accept you for who you are.
Yeah.
And he's like, touche. He says, well, let's see what happens. You sure you can't tone it down just a little bit? I was like, I'll try.
I got a friend of mine that has a shirt that says, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So to tell him, I used to apologize to him all the time, but I honestly think that's asking for forgiveness one too many times. So I always tell people, man, if in heaven we get, you know, we get our mansion on the hill and we get our car of our choice, I'm getting a skateboard and a studio apartment, you know?
That's all right.
But I'll make it. I'll make
That's
it.
That's all right. Well, any other parting words we have for these guys? I know we talked about wealth building, relationship building.
Just don't give up, man.
Right.
You know, don't work for free. Don't work yourself to death. Don't work Sundays if you don't. Don't work 7 days a week. I mean, everyone's, we're doing it this week, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. But it, you know, enjoy life because, you know, what inning are you in?
Yeah.
What
well,
inning?
Well, my grandma and her mom lived to be 100.
Wow.
Yeah, I got longevity. I'm gonna live a while if I take care of myself.
Well, that's, you know, my dad's almost, you know, pushing 90. My grandma was 90. And so we're in the same boat. So I got news for you guys. You're gonna have to deal with these old dudes for a while. You know, I mean, I don't know if I'll come through here. I don't think my dad's still a solid walker, man. How's your dad doing?
He's doing pretty good. He smoked for too many years, but he's still pretty good. Yeah. Like he's in good shape. My grandma, great story about my grandma. She called me. Actually, my dad called me on her behalf, and he said, "Hey, grandma wants you to come visit her. She lived in Texas, Texas Panhandle, where I grew up." And I'm like, okay. So we made plans. Michelle and I went down. Actually, all of us went down to see my grandma in Shamrock, Texas. She's like, and she was deaf and she was going blind and she was just bored out of her mind. Total facilities, like her mind was great and all that kind of stuff. But so she was like, I'm ready to die. That's why I wanted you to come down, because I wanted to make sure we got to have a conversation before I died. So 2 months later, she died.
You know, similar to our, sometimes, my grandma on her 90th birthday, we were living in Idaho at the time. She's in California, in the same house I grew up with, right? And the next day after her 90th, I said, hey, Nana, I'll be down here in about 2 months. And she said, you've got 8 weeks. I'll be down here. I'm going to come down and spend about a week with you. And she goes, no, you might be down here. It's probably going to be sooner. And I said, why? She goes, yeah, I'm not going to make it. I said, don't have that attitude. She goes, ready. I'm 90 years old. I love all you guys, but nobody can relate to my early years. I can't story tell or share stories with anybody, and I'm done with this world.
Yeah,
it's been a great journey. I'm gonna miss you guys, but I have a feeling we'll be together again. So you go on with your life, but I think the next time you're down here, it's gonna be for a different reason. And man, it wasn't but about 3 weeks.
Wow,
all over.
Yeah.
They know. What an amazing ride.
Yeah.
You know, what an amazing ride. You ever feel her? You feel your grandparents in you?
Yeah, my grandma. She was the matriarch of the family.
That's
so
right.
So is your grandma,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I know that story. And yeah, it's interesting. But to look back to say your grandma lived a full life. My grandma traveled all over the world.
Right.
Her husband, my grandfather, died the year we got married. So 28 years ago.
Wow.
She never remarried, but she traveled the world. She had probably been around the world to almost every country.
That's awesome.
Two or three times.
That's awesome.
So it's living a life that she wanted to live, or, you know, she lived her married life, and then he died, and that was her husband. She didn't remarry or anything.
That's good. It's Diane Michelle will probably be on the eternal cruise together. You know, and say sayonara, throw our ashes off under the drink. And
well, like we talked about last night, our wives, if we die, it'll probably be one of our wives that did it.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be our wives
that
did
especially
it,
if it's a bonehead way. I guarantee you she did it, you know. So, well, this is awesome, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate you. I love this. And guys, just stay at it. Keep having fun. Anytime it gets unfun, come to these events.
Yeah.
Connect with people that like to have fun. If they're sour pusses, run away. If they're cool people like us, come on in and have fun. I'm all about fun.
Man. Build good relationships.
That's it.
Like
right,
this. Love you, man.
Thanks,
I appreciate
man.
You.
You take care.
All right.
See ya.
Head over to detailersroadmap.com and get your one-stop success solution today.